So, Peter, welcome to Metals of Finland. This is the third time that I'm interviewing you.
Always a pleasure.
Always.
Always a pleasure.
But this time it's going to be a bit different. I try to find out who is Peter behind Vader, the man behind Vader.
All right.
Okay, let's try. Today we are here at Circolo Colony in Brescia, and soon you will go on stage. How does it feeling right now?
It's a mix of excitement and relax, you know, both different feelings, because, you know, this just before standing on stage, usually I like to calm down. Sometimes I take a nap, 1 hour nap, and just to physically be ready for that kind of suffering, the sweet suffering on stage. And from the other side, even if I know that there's so many, there's thousands of shows behind me, I'm still excited with every next show, because even if we play the same set, each show is different, and
yeah,
that makes this so special, you know.
Okay.
So, as I said, this is my life, and I wouldn't do that if I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So let's start the first question. What did you have breakfast this morning?
This morning?
Yeah.
Actually, not much. It was just like a sandwich. This little sandwich with cheese and that, and like 10 teas. And some like orange juice and that, and some vitamin pills. That's like you can keep me running in order, like,
yeah,
on the tour.
Okay.
So otherwise, like, the problem is last night was too tough for me and too rough, and so usually I don't eat too much, and next morning with hangover and feel like that. But generally my main dish in a day is dinner, not breakfast.
Okay. What is your first memory from your childhood?
Oh, hard to say. I think I remember I was badly. I wanted to see the movie, which was like forbidden for kids. I was stealing a little bad, so it means I supposed to be maybe like 4 or 5 years old, something like that. I remember I was crying loud because I really wanted to see that, and somebody told that it's not for kids because it's a horror story.
Mm-hmm.
And but so that was even, you know, something more interesting to me. So I was screaming loud, like as long as my grandpa said okay, let him watch that. And that was the very old movie The Fly.
Mm.
I remember,
yes,
that,
yeah,
that the last part when this was like a human head and the fly head instead of human head, that was really scary to me. So that's what I remember. And the other thing is kind of more painful, because I remember that somebody, because probably I had maybe obstruction or something, and somebody like trying to put a piece of soap up my ass, you know, it was like so, I was just, but it's a funny thing, I remember that.
Yeah.
That somebody was trying to invite my little buddy from behind when I was so young.
Yeah. And what about the school? How was it for you?
School easy, you know, in this elementary school. So
yeah.
I was good and easy.
Okay.
You know, actually, until I turned 14 or 15, so until I started to listen to hard rock,
yeah,
I was good boy. I mean, was like never cursing, you know, and was just never trying to be bad. Was still like good. What's the name? If you get 4 in the school,
yeah,
this A or B or C.
Yeah, ABC.
ABC. And in Poland, we had like 2, 3, 4, and 5. 5 was the highest level,
okay,
and the 2 was like the lowest level.
Okay.
So I usually had like a 5s and 4s.
Yeah.
So, and I had even a badge, so it was given to the best, like, you know,
yeah,
pants in school. You know? Okay. So that was me. And then, you know, I started to be older, so the kind of rebel started to exist in my body. I started to watch more carefully and to disagree with some things around me, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, teenage, that's I think the most rebellious age in my life, but I still think I start, compared to today, so I started with my rebel really late. Mm-hmm. Actually, the real one was, I think, when I started to study biology. And then I felt the freedom, and I started, you know, to do parties, to do bad things.
So you are good boy anymore.
No, I was always good boy in the house for my grandma, you know, for my parents. But if I was like kind of like Dr. Jack and Mr. Hyde, you know, it's like when I'm home, I was like all right, but still like good in school. But outside, I tried to be like that. I was not trying to be. I was like a bit evil guy, you know.
And what about music? When you got involved in music and how it happened?
So I was exactly like, I was about 15 years old when I listened to Black Sabbath for the first time. After my daddy bought me the cassette recorder.
Yeah.
So I started to record anything. And it was actually in Poland, was not much thing available and was not much interested in the music. So the first thing was like, you know, Bee Gees stuff or like ABBA stuff from TV. Because yeah, in those years they were like popular on TV and in Poland. And you know, we were in communism, so there's like not much Western bands available at all, yeah, like legally. ABBA visited the Polish national TV, so they became a huge star in Poland as well.
Yeah,
so
I think they were everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. Yes. That was, mm-hmm, that's definitely the best days in those years. Okay. And you know, then I discovered the stereo. Remember, I was visiting my aunt in South Poland with my grandma. And for the first time, I was like using headphones, and I heard a stereo that was magnetic fields,
yeah,
like Jean-Michel Jarre. And then came Black Sabbath, you know. So that was actually the Black Sabbath, and that was old album. That was Heaven and Hell.
Yeah.
So that was one of the first album I was listening in stereo for the first time. What was before, I discovered Sabbath before, but that was just when we were listening just from vinyl, not good equipment like my friends. So Sabbath were definitely something, the band who changed my life at all.
Yeah.
And I was not yet thinking about being a musician those days, but they definitely, that's why Black Sabbath is still, I think, number one in memories and in my life,
yeah,
as a guy involved in music, you know,
yeah,
in art. So they infected me, and they, you know, they struck in my heart, and they stayed in my soul, you know? So that's why I love Sabbath. That was one of the reasons why the first cover we ever made on Sotis was Black Sabbath, just because of that.
Yeah. And when you realized that music will be a lifelong story for you?
Well, you know, that came way later, actually. When I started to play in a band, of course, that was something serious for me, but nobody expected I was going to be as serious, you know, in those years. So I just wanted to play the instrument and to bang my hand. Any day maybe I can stand on a professional stage and play with my friends. So we started Vader. In Vader, I started to play guitar because when we started the band, I was a bass player still yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then we started slowly with some like local shows in school and some recreation areas. Then we did some Vader shows in the student clubs in the city we live in.
Yeah.
And until we recorded the first demo tape in '89, after Doc joined the band, after big change in the, in the lineup Invader, so everything was more like fun, of course, more just like kind of rebel, you know. It's good just to go to play and to be wasted after that, you know, to meet friends, to meet girls, you know, that was just like that. And I think after I met Marius and we started to do something really more serious, actually it came to the first album finally, almost 10 years after we started to be a band. And then it started to be something really serious, but not yet. I think Black to the Blind album, you know, this album, I think that was something which totally turned out everything in my life. Okay. Because I stopped my studying, and that was like, my family didn't like that idea at all. So, and they said that was the most stupid thing I ever did in my life. But I just couldn't stand this problem. It became a problem because I was almost done with the studio. It means like I supposed to spend more time in a lab and just to give more time for learning and teaching, because I supposed to be a valid teacher. Yeah. So we started a practicum in the schools, and I should to like spend time in school, you know, different level school. And more show just started to be since 93, so we play like 100 shows every year. So it was really hard to, you know, connect this with the studio. So I decided to quit. I tried to, you know, to change the mode of learning, just to meetings and just to finish it, but I'm still just, I had no time. Finally I knew that I'm gonna try to be a professional musician. I know that the price is gonna be high, but I took that risk, you know. The problem was from the other side, because in those years I was already with Marta, and I already had like two little kids.
Yeah.
And my daughter was just born, so I had like no room, you know. I just flat rented, so I pay like every month of that. So the money was a problem at the time. So I never asked the family for real help. So we were too proud. It was like hard days, but one of the best days now, I remember. And we get through, and then Vader started to play and get more money, merge everything. So we started to resolve it, and things started to turn out in a good. But
so you made a good
years.
Choice.
After years, I can say so. And I remember, like, my dad was still against that. Almost everybody was against playing this kind of music. They said, like, there's no future for that. So until I threw a bunch of dollars on the table, so I was as much money, so probably they should to work a year for it. That was after one tour. Then they shut the mouth up.
they
finally
started
so,
to understand.
You know, but I understand, because, you know, they're parents, so they were caring about, especially they knew that I had a new the two kids, you know, so like I should to care about them, and money is very helpful in that. So
I could say.
So after that everything was
different.
And I think they now they're proud of me, so they I sometimes see that they hidden they collecting something. News and like always, if there's something in the local area, like talking about Vader, so call me that day. Proud of that, you know.
Let's do. What about your favorite guitars and how many you have in your collection?
You know, I'm not the collector of guitars. First of all, I need one at a time on stage.
Yeah,
I don't need to be.
Playing?
I don't need to be Steve Vai and playing three guitars at once. You know? It's not that way. And I think I got like seven of them, but they usually use like two or three on tour.
Okay.
Once when we use different tunings for different songs, so I had like four or five.
Okay.
One is always a backup, but to make it easy, so we just use, even if we play different songs from different albums, which the songs were like tuned to different scales, so we use the same one, so to C sharp and. And of course, RAN, I'm that's like this custom model, and you know, this company is run by my friend. Is from Austin, from the same city, and I was like following the rise of the company since childhood, I think. I mean, from the company's childhood. So they progress, same with Vader, you know, parallel. Mm. So being a musician, so we still were talking, so the guitars are not just kind of furniture, this is instruments, and yeah, that's why I love them, you know. First, and not just because I get them for free, because I get endorsement. Yeah. So I'm pretty much helpful also with in progress and like to make it better. You know, okay. Just so that's why I'm loyal endorser. And
of course,
I love the guitar. That's why they became not a cheap instrument and really wanted. And they were a few times in U.S. So I met many people who tried to like touch it, like just to play it. It's like they heard about RAN and never had a chance like to get, because they are expensive and, you know, they go, no, just regular guitar, but good enough to play music and to be happy with playing.
Okay.
You know, that's important, because for many years I never ever, for many years I had no good instrument. I was like suffering on like piece of wood almost, just to play. And so finally, after I had my model in RAN after years, so I can be proud of that, and now I can feel easy that there's not a problem with the instrument, at least. So.
Okay. Do you have hobbies whenever you have spare times?
Yes. So hobbies is good. Hobby is good, and my hobby is totally different, because I'm interested in the history, in the Second World War, actually, like the military aspect.
Yeah.
So it started from modeling, you know, this plastic kits, you know, so you can mount the tanks, of course, old like military vehicles from the Second World War era. And I don't know, I found a time once I was visiting one of my friends, and I saw his passion about like modeling, and just like I never ever like thought that this can be so deep passion, you know? like you know, before, modeling was just like, okay, look, you have a glue, you have the plastic model kits, you like put it together and okay, but that's not the most important thing. Is like to discover like the right color you have to put in that, you made the right model, you make it like in your way, like just, you know, that's a lot of books about that. And so the model is just like a final act of that, but the knowledge and the searching like for this is the most important thing. So I was totally swallowed by that passion. Then came something more real, came modeling one in scale 1:1. I mean,
one-to-one
reenactments. It's like history, it's like showing battles in real. So I met the guy who was a Vader fan, and he just told me that he's also like got a hobby, so they starting reenactment group. That was something new in Poland those days. You know, it was like nothing like this was existing before. And and he asked me if I can join them. But you know, the only thing is they played the German soldiers, so he can help me with some uniforms, because I was like, I had not much shit about that yet. I got like a helmet, you know, that's regular things. And after that meeting, that was great, because that's kind of feeling, and you can feel like in real, something real. The other thing is friendship, you know. It's the same like in metal. Like metal was one of the reason why I love metal is brotherhood. It always was brotherhood.
Yeah.
Until internet was discovered. And you know, those days the meetings was in real life. So the same here. It's the friendship. It's even if we know that this is like fake, we're playing. You know, we're actors, not soldiers. But you know, after years, so same like Vader, to be professional, we started to act like soldiers, to make meetings. We connected with like a regular army, so they can rent us proving grounds, which is officially closed for like civilians. So we can use the tank, something just to teach how to behave, like how to act on a war field. So we even had some meetings with the veterans from a war, from the German side, also from Polish side, mm-hmm. just to know how it was. Because the tactic and some things changed in the meantime. The general rules is the same, but you know, some that there was some specific kind of tactic, you know, in the Second World War era. So we're trying to be as close to realities from those days. You know. And you know, this became very popular now. You know, this way better to show history in this way, especially for kids, because it's way more interesting than just to read some name dates and, you know, lines in the book,
yeah.
and like in the school. And so this is fun for us as actors and for visitors, for watchers, sometimes yeah. thousands of them. And you know, of course, we use tanks, we use vehicles, the pyrotechnic, huge sometimes, like it's, and of course movies. So yeah, that was pretty natural. So after like national meetings, some just displaying like life war for people, some movies just they asked us, because that's if we interested in that, so we can do it professional. So we back plan for war movies sometimes, just because we have always right colors, right uniforms for this year, particular years, mm-hmm. because in the past there's like so many mistakes in that. So there's no mistakes if you ask Korean actors to do their job because they love it, you know, this is passion.
That's why
we do it.
Great. And what about food, drinks? What are your favorites, drinks and foods?
You know, I like to discover different tastes. So when I have, you know, possibilities, because we touring around the globe, so we are able just to check like South American and like Asian food, which is totally different, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, my favorite is still the Polish food. So this is what we call pierogies, like,
yes,
you know,
pierogies,
something
like
the regular
ravioli.
Stack.
Yes.
No, they look like ravioli, but they're not. It's kind of different. It's like a bit different made, but probably if there's made from a float, and you put it to boil water,
yeah.
and you could put inside like different things, like sweet stuff or like meat or vegetables, whatever.
I will try nice. Someday. Mm-hmm. I have the receipt.
So, and I don't know why, but a totally favorite is that we call it Ruski pierogi, which means like Russian, but it's nothing with Russia. That's funny. And there is many national foods in Poland which had names connected with different nations, you know.
Yeah.
That's funny. Because the Ruski, like Russian pierogies, sometimes they call it dumplings outside of Poland. So there's totally unknown in Russia. What they call pierogi is totally different. You know?
Yeah.
And that's why we always, like my grandma always asked, like, why it's called, why, it's, who? Name that Ruski pierogi, it's nothing with Russia with that. It was typical Polish, you know.
Yeah.
so that's as funny. You know?
Okay. Do you cook by yourself?
Oh, just occasionally, you know.
Okay.
And my Marta, she, you know, that's always a problem, because when I'm on tour, I eat not regularly, so I'm losing weight. But when I stay home, even for a month, she cooks so great, so we always both like getting more fat, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. What about the last book you read?
The last one is about the fightings in East Prussia in 45.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's not too many books about that theme. That was like bloody part of history in this. That was like a German part. That's actually. That there's, I'm from there, so now it's a Polish part of, it's northern part of Poland, but in the past, like till 45, this part and part of Latvia up, that was called East Prussia, Ostpreußen, and that was the German part, of course, and that was like bloody fightings, like killings, you know. The Red Army came would hate, and all these many civilians would just slaughter. Mm-hmm. It's like they did many things, but that team was forbidden to say loud when the Poland was still under communism, because like the Red Army always broke freedom, you know, never hate, you know, which was totally bullshit. Mm-hmm. And after the Berlin Wall fell down, so everything started to came on the light, you know, all these dark stories from the past, and that was one of those. And you know, until 43, so there was many sources from German, original sources, I mean from German side, and about findings and everything, but that part was totally dark. You know, it was like not too many people survive who can say anything about the findings, you know. Mm. So I can see just like scars on the churches and the buildings. Even today, there's some buildings totally shot, like with holes, like pierced, like everywhere. You know? So this is just like witness to the scars on the buildings. It's just witness of what happened in the years.
Yeah. And do you believe there is life outside of this globe?
I think so. Mm. I think so. And you know, I never ever get so deep into this theme, but I'm sure that there is something connected. And actually, in the last album, there is a lot about that. That's my thoughts, because the last year I was thinking about that like many times. Like, I get back to some Daniken books about, like, you know, the gods coming from the space, which is pretty much what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Some life who influences or infected Earth. Mm-hmm. And started the life here, and so I believe there's no. It's not maybe that it's more like a hobby. It's more like something mysterious to me.
Yeah.
But it might be like that for some people. What I can call gods, and connected with some old stories, the other can call aliens, you know, or humans who. Went to space and come back after time change and everything changes. Like, there were so many sci-fi movies about that. But you know, that's philosophy. But if we are able to imagine something, it means that this already exists.
Okay.
It's existing just around us.
Okay.
But maybe we just cannot touch it yet, because
we
can't, or it's good for us or not. It's not us who are going to decide. We know something, but it's like set into DNA, you know. Mm-hmm. There is something that we just cannot touch it, you know. That's it.
Great. Tell me a joke or something that makes us laugh.
Oh, come on. A joke now?
Oh, well.
Or,
anything.
You know, this is all about jokes. If one says it's like it brings the others like to follow.
Mm.
But if you have to say a joke just in a moment, it's like blocking. It's like what to say, whatever. I'm not that kind of joker, you know, who remembers or who had a joke like on every second
on
a day.
I know what you mean. I couldn't remember not even the one.
I love jokes, but see, like I need to spend time, like have fun with, like,
maybe later on.
Maybe later.
Now, there is a series of one-word questions or replies. What was first, an egg or a hen?
That's a typical philosophical question.
Yeah,
it's like, you know what? It's, you know, I was studying biology, remember?
Yeah.
So it must be, I think it must be hen, because that's evolution we follow in the we teaching, you know, or learning in the schools. It's also evolution of fetus, and the egg was the first time for animals, some like protection for what's inside.
Mm.
And amphibious, it was living in the water yet. It was like they needed water to breed.
Yeah.
Because this little what's the name of that? A caviar, this kind of stuff. I don't know the name, caviar. English name for
yes.
that.
Yeah.
So they need to spend water, and water protected that. It cannot be brought outside because it dry out and die.
Yeah.
So the next step was reptiles and birds.
Yeah.
So that's like parallel, actually.
Yeah, so it was hen.
Yeah, so I think if that had to be, maybe not, it was maybe not called hen those days, maybe more, it was called like, it was closer to alligator, probably.
Yeah.
But probably it was like that.
Okay, day or night?
Night, I think. It was, you know, hard to say. If you ask me the question, like, 5 years ago,
yeah.
I would say definitely night.
Yeah.
Because I love to spend, to do something in the night, just like the most. I was active mostly in night.
Mm.
But now, after I had a chance, like day is same important to me.
Mm.
And since years, I really use the night to sleep.
Mm. Oh,
and,
great.
Yeah, but I start, but being home, I start the day very early, you know, usually. Like about 7 morning, sometimes earlier.
Yeah.
And but because I get up so early, so I also go to bed early. So of course the change is different on tour. On tour it's totally turn up.
Yeah.
But as I said, 5 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, I'd say night. But now, same seasons is same important to me.
Okay. City or nature?
Nature.
Nature.
Oh, I hate cities. No, I was living so many years in the city, but even the first like almost 30 years, I was living in my grandparents' house until it's not 30, it's like let's say 25, until I started my life with Martha and my kids, and so I was living in the middle of a city, but that was a very silent area, so I was always far from this big skyscrapers like with like thousands of families living in, and so I still felt kind of connection between people living in the same building. It was like new manual. But then when I was living with my family, in this kind of areas, I became totally enemy of because the people, they live not together, they live by each other.
Mm-hmm.
In the neighborhood, but they don't even know sometimes each other. This is something unknown to me, you know? Because like for me it can be like to live together and to be like enemy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I got enough money to buy a house outside, like I live almost in the woods, you know, so far from people, far from even from villages. So now I feel me and Martha, we had the same feeling about that.
Mm.
We love animals. We also like, you know, surrounded by animals. We have cats, dogs, like swine, you know. Not for, because we're not farmers, so we don't breed them just to eat, but we just love it. And so definitely nature.
Okay,
definitely.
Great. Dream or realistic?
I think dream. My life, some people don't like this in me, but sometimes I live still like in a dream, you know.
Mm.
Even my hobby, when I put the uniform and try to get back in those days and to try to be a soldier, it's kind of dream come true.
Mm.
It's like from childhood, right?
Yeah.
When you were like, bah, 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 bah. Now it's like more real.
Yeah.
And same heavy metal, you know, there's also like connected with dreams, with fantasy.